Good to see you this morning. We're very thankful that God has blessed us with this opportunity and I welcome you. Appreciate our visitors who are with us. The Wilsons here again visiting. We're glad to see them and others as well. We appreciate very much your presence. Hope you can come join us again tonight, 6 o'clock. We'll meet again for worship and Bible study together. If you're not a Christian this morning, we want you to consider especially the call of the gospel to do God's sovereign will, as we just sang, to hear and to heed the words of Jesus. If you'll believe that He is the Son of God, even as the centurion acknowledged in the reading from Tanner with us this morning in Matthew 27, if you'll believe that and act upon that faith by confessing it, repenting of your sins, and being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins as His blood washes those sins away, we hope that we can help you do that this very day. The Lord will add you to His church. You'll become a disciple of Jesus. And then as one who is saved in Christ to live for Him day by day. And as we walk in the light, as we find sin and know that we've transgressed God's will, He calls us to confess it to Him, to repent of it. And if we can help assist in that as well, at the end of our study today, we invite you to come and heed God's call to come to His Son. What is truth? Pilate's question that he asked Jesus continues to perplex some, raise doubts in others, and confound people in unbelief, as well as encourage and strengthen people of faith. In the context, the truth that Jesus acknowledged was a truth that Pilate was unwilling to accept. Jesus acknowledged that He was a king, He had a kingdom, He was not of this world, but He came to testify of that truth. And that the only truth Pilate said accurately in 38 was he found no fault in Jesus at all. And yet he didn't act upon that truth, did he? Question is, will we act upon truth in our lives? Pilate refused to act upon the truth and handed Jesus over to the Jews to be crucified. And yet there's still today a lot of misgivings when you start talking about truth. A lot of people get very uncomfortable when you start talking about the absolute nature of truth or about truth existing at all. They would say that it is a very arrogant position, very prideful and boastful thought that you can know truth about anything. In fact, one gospel preacher said on one occasion, I would never be so bold as to say I know anything for certain from the Bible. Now, friends, that ain't Bible preaching. That ain't gospel preaching. And yet people get very uncomfortable. And they say, oh, you're being arrogant. You're being boastful. We don't intend to be that at all. But hear the word of Jesus. We might ask, was Jesus boastful when He acknowledged and obeyed truth? Or what about in Matthew 11 in verse 25 when at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, fathers, for so it seemed good in Your sight. In God's sight, He revealed truth, but it would be those who would be babes, innocent in heart, willing to receive, that would understand it. And so the question really is not to the person who is proclaiming truth as being arrogant, but rather, will I be arrogant when I hear truth? Will I boast myself against truth and refuse to receive it? Or will I humble myself as a babe, the very ones that the Father reveals His will to? And so to come to Jesus and receive His salvation. So what is truth? Well, by definition, the dictionary says it's the quality or state of being true. That which is true or in accordance with fact or reality. Well, here's what comes immediately to mind to me when I read a definition
dictionary definition like that is that truth is objective. We live in a time, though, when people have their own truth. My truth, your truth, but woe be the person who says there is the truth that applies to everybody. And yet, the nature of truth that we read about in the Bible is not my truth and your truth. You know, I'm going to live my truth, you live your truth. That's not truth at all. That's my will and your will. Truth is different than that. Truth is the voice of Jesus. John 18 and verse 37 in our reading. What did Jesus say about it? He said, "For this cause I was born and came into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." It's not my truth, your truth, and somebody else's truth. It's Jesus' truth. His voice is truth. God's Word is truth. John 17, 17. So, with confidence we can say, there is truth that comes from God through His Son Jesus Christ, who spoke it. And that truth is not up to me and you, it's up to God. And He has revealed it, and it can be understood. And it can be followed. Truth, yet, causes a lot of uproar. Jesus became the enemy of a lot of people because He spoke the truth in love. And so will we. His followers did, and you will too, if you decide to follow truth. Just make no bones about it. We just want to be as truthful as Jesus was about it. Jesus spoke truth in John 8:58 as an illustration. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they took up stones to throw at Him. Now, He said His words were truth. He said, "I am." Of course, that is a reference to Exodus 3 in verse 14, to the eternally existing God. And they took up stones to throw at Him, but Jesus hid Himself, went out of the temple, and passed on through their midst. They hated Him and eventually killed Him because they didn't believe His truth, that He is the eternal God. Well, in John 15, Jesus is very plain to His apostles. He said, "If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. And if you were in the world will love its own." See, here's the problem with Christians. We want to be loved by everybody, and we're not going to be loved by everybody. We want to get along with everybody. That'd be great, but we're not going to get along with everybody because there are going to be people who don't love truth. And we're going to have to decide, do we love truth? He goes on to say, "Remember the word that I said to you." Remember, His word is truth. Here's what He said about it. "A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they'll also keep yours." So, it comes back to the word. It comes back to truth. It comes back to whether we will believe, receive, and follow it. The apostle even said to Christians, in Galatians 4:16, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" This matter of rejecting truth is not just those who are outside of Christ. Christians can develop an evil heart of unbelief and falling from the living God. Hebrews 3 and verse 12. And we can begin to despise, even hate, those who speak truth. They become our enemy rather than our friend. Jesus is our friend because He speaks truth. And we ought to be friends together in truth as He calls us to. Truth is objective. We want to know what truth is. It's the words of Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God. And that has to be the anchor, even as we read, or I'm sorry, as we sang this morning. Psalm number 439 from Psalm 19. And the majesty of the Word of God. Let's talk about the place of truth, the source of truth, and the place of truth in God's plan for our redemption, for our salvation, for our lives. And let's talk about our dependency upon truth. We need truth. We need truth. We hear a lot today about misinformation. That's really nothing new. The topic may be relatively new to us, but there's tons of misinformation. We need a source that we can go to and have confidence in. We can rely upon. We can trust when it comes to truth. And of course, that source is God. God is the one we can rely upon because His Word is truth, and He's revealed that truth to us through His Son, Hebrews 1 and verse 2. God speaks to us in these last days in His Son. In John 1 and verse 14, the introduction of the Gospel of John, the Apostle John, said that the Word became flesh. Now, he's identified the Word already in that passage as the Creator. In the beginning was the Word, the eternal Creator. He made all things. It says He was with God and He was God. He's deity. And now the Word, verse 14, became flesh. He's talking about Jesus. He became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is full of grace, bringing the grace of God to all men, that they might hear it, believe, and follow Him and be saved. Full of truth. Truth. The truth is our means of accessing grace because both of them are in Jesus. He's the source point. Truth and grace. Don't try to separate them. They go together. They go together. They combine in Jesus Christ. It is the Word of God that is truth and judges. And Jesus identified that as the words He spoke in John 8, 26. Jesus said, "I have many things to say and to judge concerning you." Now remember, what He spoke was truth. So He says, "I have many words of truth to say and to use to judge concerning you. But He who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard from Him." They didn't understand that He spoke to them of the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I am He and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things." I speak these things. I speak truth. A lot of people don't like that. They just don't. And we can give lip service to it, by the way, and not really believe it. Because see, when we really are committed, convicted to the principle that Jesus speaks truth and that He is truth, He said, "I am the truth," in John 14, 6, then we don't make excuses any longer. We don't rationalize ourselves out of our responsibility toward truth, but squarely accept the judgment of truth and the direction truth tells me to take, the decision and direction to go, so I escape condemnation of my sin, that I am saved in Jesus Christ. John 12, 48, Jesus said, "He that rejects me and does not receive my words or my sayings has one that judges him. The word that I spoke, the same will judge him in the last day." Condemnation awaits if I reject the words, the truth of Jesus. On the other hand, what He spoke was eternal life. His words give life. Verses 49 and 50, He goes on to say, if I will not reject it. See, we have a choice today. You and I, we have a choice to believe the truth that Jesus spoke and sent out to be spoken by His apostles that we have recorded for us in Scripture. Or we can choose to reject it, to deny it, to refuse it. But that truth will judge us in the last day. So Jesus, when we talk about God being the source of truth, of course, Jesus is the embodiment of that truth. John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." We cannot go to heaven without Jesus. And that means we can't go to heaven without His truth.
I can't live in denial of and disobedience to His truth and go to the Father who sent His Son to speak truth, to show the way to the Father. It's such a simple concept. But you see, the devil wants to get us all wrapped up believing lies that we can go to heaven without truth. The truth belongs to you and me. And you know, if I want to say I'm a woman, then that's my truth and you need to treat me like a woman. And so forth. Lunacy. Oh, but the world is very, the influence of the world is very powerful. Oh, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Better stay quiet. Better just talk the way they talk, accept the way they accept. Now, is that following Jesus? I don't think so. Not what the Word of God says. That's not the way Jesus followed the Father. That's not the way His apostles followed Him. That's not the way early Christians followed Him. So are we following Him if we stop speaking truth? We can make all kinds of applications in that. I hope you are making them right now as you consider these things with me. So we can change the truth about how to be saved. We can change the truth about how to worship God. We can change the truth about the nature and organization of His church. We can change the truth about heaven and hell. And with little more than saying, well, that's the way, I don't believe it that way. That's the way I believe. You believe your way. And you know, in the final analysis, God loves us all and we'll all go to heaven. Say what? And where's that scripture? In the Word of Truth? How committed really are we to God as the source of our truth? Ephesians 4, 20 and 21 says, but you did not so learn Christ. Now his context was, you didn't learn Christ so you could keep living in the darkness of sin. If indeed you have heard Him and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. It's not in the Church of Christ. It's not in Joe Price. It's not in you or anyone. It's in Jesus Christ. Here's the truth. Question is, can we understand it and follow it? And when we follow it, what will it make us? Except Christians. Disciples. Priests to our God. Citizens of His kingdom. With the hope of heaven. God is the source. We need to get back to the right source if we're going to truly have and follow truth. Let's talk about the mission of truth for just a moment. I know a lot can be said of this, but let's just boil it down to a couple fundamental points. One is, God's truth saves the lost. God's truth saves sinners. That's the function of truth. Error does not save lost souls. In John the 6th chapter, if you look at that passage with me, verses 44 through 47, and this is within a context where Jesus repeatedly identifies Himself as the bread of life. We need food to sustain our physical bodies. Jesus gives us food to sustain our souls unto eternal life. Now what does all that mean? Well, verse 44, Jesus said, no one can come to me. Well, what it means, let me answer my rhetorical question. Verse 35, what it means is, he who comes to me shall never hunger, he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have not seen me, and yet you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. He's the bread of life. We've got to come to Him to have our hunger satisfied. We've got to have faith in Him. Believe in Him to not thirst. Now, what does that mean? It's always another question. Important questions. Verse 44. Jesus answers it for us. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me.
Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. So, what does he say? He says, the Father teaches us. The Father teaches us so that we can hear from the Father and learn from the Father and come to Jesus. That's prophetically what is fulfilled in the gospel. When he sent his apostles into the world, he said, go and preach the gospel to the whole creation. The good news. What? Of a bread of life. Of a food that will give you eternal life. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Is that truth? He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Yes, that's truth. He that does not believe will be lost. You see, if you don't believe what God teaches you about His Son, you're lost. But if you believe what God teaches you about His Son, what does that verse say? He says you'll be baptized. Well, why should I do that? Why should I believe and be baptized? Jesus said, because you want to be saved. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be lost. God calls us through His gospel to obtain glory in Christ. It's the gospel call that is the call of truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, God called us to salvation by our gospel. Taking chapter verse 13 and 14 put together. God's chosen us, He says. We're bound to give thanks to God always, beloved in the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we studied in class this morning. God made a choice about a way for us to be saved, to be sanctified, to be set apart and called holy in the Spirit. But by belief in the truth. And He's called us to that by the gospel that the apostles were preaching. The mission of truth, the mission of the gospel is to save the lost. It's God's power to save. Because you see, truth frees us. God's truth frees us from sin. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, then you're truly my disciples. That's soak in. If you abide in my words, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, it is the implanted word, the word of God implanted in our heart that's able to do what? James 1:21, able to save the soul. So whose truth do you believe this morning? A truth that makes faith in Jesus relative to your and my wishes and desires? Or a truth that comes from God that calls us to submit ourselves to the Son and to follow His Word. To believe and be baptized, to be saved. To come out of darkness into His marvelous light. To repent and put away that sin and change to have a heart directed to God. Truth teaches us all of that because it teaches us how to be saved. And saved in Christ, it teaches us how to live approved in His sight. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, the apostle said, be diligent. He's speaking to Christians. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Wait a minute. You mean those Christians could live in a way that they were not approved to God? He says, present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. That implies necessarily I might be a worker who would be ashamed. But not if I'm approved. Not if I'm accepted, tried and true, So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be diligent to be an approved worker, rightly dividing what? The word of truth. Handling properly God's word. Because you see, it's God's word that's going to approve me or oppose me. And you too. God's word is either going to approve us to be acceptable in our life as we live for God or not. The power of the word and that mission of truth is seen in Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, cutting, diving deep into the very recesses of our hearts, of our thoughts, to separate. As we would think, how can you separate soul and spirit? It can get to such a dividing point because it discerns our thoughts, our motives, our intents. It exposes our heart. That's why we need to meditate daily upon the law of God. Psalm 119:97 we had up earlier. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. Why? Because I need my heart exposed to what it really is, so, and what God's will is, so I can conform to it. Of course, then that becomes a choice of faith on our part, doesn't it? To trust and to apply that truth to ourselves when it exposes our heart and exposes our sin against God. For example, the Bereans had willing hearts, remember? When the apostles preached the word in Acts 17 to the Bereans, it says they were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians. They received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. They went to the source of truth and said, is what this man saying truth? Because here's what the Scripture says. And because they did that, many of them believed. It was true. They had willing hearts. When we hear the Scriptures, do we have willing hearts? Or are we like the Jews in Antioch of Pisidia who became envious when they saw the crowds flocking around Paul and Barnabas as they spoke on that day? Almost the whole city came to hear the Word of God, and the Jews saw the multitudes and they were filled with envy. And so they contradicted and they blasphemed and oppose the things spoken by Paul. Of course, Paul spoke the word of God, verse 46. And they opposed it. But in both cases, the Bereans or the Jews in Antioch of Pisidia, it was about their heart toward truth. God's truth exposes our heart so we can follow truth and be approved by God. But if we reject that truth with unwilling, sinful hearts, we will not be approved. We will be ashamed when we stand before Him in judgment. Well, let's talk finally about the power of truth. Again, some of that, there's a little overlapping, but I want to take it in this direction today with you about the power of truth. And that is the power of truth over sin, over temptations, and over death. First of all, over sin. Satan lied in the garden to Eve, didn't he? He said, "You'll not die when you eat this fruit." Of course, God's word was true. God said, "In the day you eat of it, you will surely die." But the devil comes along and says, "You're not going to die," and presented other options, other courses that enticed Eve to sin against God. And that day she did die, and did as did Adam, as he took the fruit and also ate, separated from God and His blessings. Spiritual death. When we sin, we're separated from God. So Satan's lie, pretty powerful when it's obeyed, when it's followed. But now here comes God. God speaks truth to defeat Satan's lies. He defeats Satan's lies with truth. Jesus came full of truth. He came as the truth. God in His Son speaks truth that sanctifies us. Sanctify them by Your truth. Your Word is truth. The power of truth is a power that defeats the devil. It defeats sin through Jesus Christ because He's the one who speaks the truth and He is greater and stronger than Satan. See, God's truth is more powerful than Satan's lie. But we don't always see that or perceive that. Let me rephrase that. We don't always grasp that in the present age because it looks like the lie is winning. It looks like the lie is pretty powerful. Secularism has overwhelmed this society as it has a lot of places in the earth, around the earth. And it seems like the power of lies and deceit and evil are winning the day. Brethren and friend, make no mistake. The truth of God is more powerful than the lies of Satan. And if they're not, then why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did He speak truth? Why did He say, "I am the truth"? Why does any of this matter if the lies of the devil have more power than the truth of God? Oh, the truth of God is powerful. The truth of God over sin, it defeats sin. When we have the faith to trust it, to follow it, it's more powerful. Look at the power of truth to save. Angels don't save us. Direct operation of the Holy Spirit doesn't save us. Acts the 8th chapter, there was a lost man, an Ethiopian, who was on his way from Jerusalem back home. God's angel told Philip to go down to the road between Jerusalem and Gaza. The angel didn't save the lost man. And then when he got there, Philip got there, who's the preacher. He had a message. He had some good news. The Holy Spirit said, go and join yourself to that chariot over there. Go get in that car over there, if you please, in our day. Holy Spirit didn't directly act upon the Ethiopian to save him. Could have, but that's not God's plan. You see, that's not what God's ordained. So that's not what happened. What happened was, Philip went over and he joined up with that man in the chariot. Started the conversation. What are you reading? He's reading from the Scripture. He's reading Isaiah. Do you understand what you're reading? How can I? Is he talking about himself? Is he talking about somebody else? I don't get it. And from that Scripture, from that Word of God, he preached Jesus to him. He didn't preach his experience. He didn't bear a personal testimony that Jesus is the Christ. He preached Christ from the Word of God, beginning at that Scripture. Isn't that what that verse says? Yeah, beginning at this Scripture. He didn't begin with my experience. He didn't begin, let me tell you what Jesus did to me. No, he went to the Scripture to prove who Jesus is. Because when you prove who Jesus is, you'll prove what He can do for you. When you believe it and obey Him. The power of truth is the power of preaching the Word of truth. And by preaching that Word of truth, that Ethiopian believed it. I know he believed it because they came upon some water and the eunuch said, well, here's water, what's keeping me from being baptized? How would he hear about baptism? Oh, they already had a creed book written and that particular denomination said you've got to be baptized in their way and then... Oh! He heard about baptism because he heard about Jesus. But what do you hear about baptism? Well, you know, sprinkle babies and... No, he didn't hear that either. What did he hear about baptism? Honestly, what did truth say about baptism? Well, it said if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you believe His gospel, what did it say? Mark 16:16? He that believes and is baptized will be
already saved? No, will be saved. It didn't say he that believes is saved and then will be baptized. It just doesn't say that. That's not what the truth says. Jesus, who is truth, said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Well, this Ethiopian believed when he heard the preaching of Jesus. And he says, I want to be baptized. He said, he was told, if you believe, you may. And he confessed his faith. Was he saved then? Not according to Mark 16:16, but he was on his way. So they stopped the chariot, they went down to the water, and he baptized him. And he came out of the water rejoicing. Or he went on his way rejoicing.
Joy in believing and obeying truth. Now, my friends, I'm not presenting to you, trying to present to you some denominational package of what you ought to do to be right. But simply follow truth. Simply believe and follow truth as it's revealed in Scripture.
Regardless of what anybody in the whole world has to say about it. Examine the Scripture. Take it up. Look at it. And see what the truth is. Because the Father has revealed it to babes. You can understand it too. And you can believe and obey it too. That's the power of truth. To save the lost. The power of truth is a power against temptation. And so we're told to take up the whole armor of God. To stand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. We have something to do about it, Christian. He says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. And so he says, take your stand in truth.
Take your stand by putting on God's armor. Putting on truth around your waist. He says, gird your loin with truth, your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Walk the gospel path. He says, take the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Evil, slay the evil with the Word of God. God's Word has power. God's power works in us when we will follow His Word. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Now, verse 12 says, keep obeying, and God will keep working in you to accomplish His will and purpose. You want God to work in you? Then obey His truth. That's the power of truth at work. That's the power of God at work. Don't separate God from His Word. But let His Word dwell in you richly. Colossians 3 and verse 16. To live holy before God and man.
Finally, the power of truth over death is seen in the Gospel of John. In John 8 and 51, Jesus said that if anyone will believe His voice, it says, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. If anyone keeps my word, he'll never see death. We've already established God's word, Christ's word is truth. So keep His word, keep His truth, you'll never see death. So, what about Lazarus who died? He died.
Well, Jesus answers that in John 11, 25 and 26, doesn't He? You see,
Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he die, he shall live. His body is going to be resurrected. And whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that if you'll believe, live and believe in Christ, you'll never die? You'll have spiritual life from the death of sin. That's His point. Truth brings us to faith. Truth guides us in a new life, a newness of life, Romans 6 and verse 4 says. Raised to walk in newness of life. The power of truth over sin, over temptations, over death, if we'll avail ourselves of its power. if we'll bring it into application into our lives. And so truth establishes our hope. It assures us of God's grace. Colossians 1, verses 5 and 6, as we conclude these thoughts this morning. Look at Colossians 1, 5 and 6 with me. The apostle said, "Because of the hope that's laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." The word of the truth of the gospel tells us about heaven and the hope we have in heaven, which has come to you. This gospel has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it also did among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Heard about the grace of God, how? In truth. Why would that be? Because Jesus is full of grace and truth, John 1:14. And when His gospel is preached, we have access through His truth to God's grace, so we can have a hope in heaven. You want to go to heaven? You want that to be your hope? Then respond to His truth to obtain His grace to be saved from your sins. God's judgment is going to be according to truth. If I reject it now, I'll come face to face with it later. God's judgment is according to truth. Romans 2 and verse 2. So why don't we be wise and use God's judgment, which is truth and true, to assess ourselves, our lives, and whether we are in harmony with His will, whether we're saved or we're lost. And if we're lost, be saved today. Allow the power of Christ and the grace of God be accomplished in your life by having the faith to obey His truth. Put your trust in Him and His truth, like the Ethiopian, who in his believing and obedience went on his way rejoicing. Become a Christian. By faith repent and be baptized into Christ, raised to walk in new life. As a Christian, to remove every stain of sin, repenting, confessing our sin to Him. If we can help you publicly to that need in response, we hope you'll come while together we stand and sing.